Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis. Hey, and welcome back to the Forward Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Jarvis, and as always, you can find the show notes and more about the podcast at forwardmarketing.com/podcast. That's the number four, the numeral four, numero quattro, rdmarketing.com. So last week, we talked about the exciting topic of GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation. And it was so much fun. No, it wasn't. It was really boring. And I got to admit, I did not like it at all. But I come across it so much in my own business and come across it so much with other entrepreneurs that this is something that's going to affect everyone on the internet. And because of it, we need to do something about it. So that's why I covered it. I far, far, far more enjoyed talking about LinkedIn the week before, talking about the five things that people do that are wrong in marketing the week before that. And of course, the interviews that we've done this year are much, much, much more entertaining to me. So this week, we're talking about the five ways to prepare or to optimize your site for the Google Mobile First Index. So last year, really before that, Google kept saying, hey, we're going to kind of switch it up. We're going to change the search engine. Instead of you giving you results that are sort of desktop friendly, we're going to give you results that are mobile friendly first. Thinking that because the world is going mobile, very few people have desktops. I know I'm a dinosaur. I prefer the desktop. I want a high-powered computer, really, because I have a dream one day of playing games. I would love to be that ninja person that plays Fortnite and is making millions of dollars, but don't really have the time because I have a job. So, and then one of the job requirements is to be here with you. So, so that won't be me, but I will still be pining away for a super powerful desktop that can handle the rigors of an intense video game or video editing, which is something I actually like to do. I know that's weird. But Google says, look, everyone's using mobile phones, and so therefore, all of our search results need to cater to them first, and then, and so that means that if your site isn't mobile ready or mobile responsive, then that means that you are not going to rank as well. Now, the important thing to know is, and we'll get to this in a second, there are techniques that you can use for mobile that will hurt your search results on desktop. And I know it's the darndest thing. So things like accordions, anything content hiding, anything that can be abused. I had this conversation with someone from IBM the other day about SEO tactics, and they were talking about how to design an elegant looking page using these new sort of content hiding, revealing techniques. I'm like, yeah, that looks great. But for Google, they think content hiding means you are using a black hat technique, sir, and therefore we're going to ding you. That's what it means to Google. So some of the things that can make a mobile site more attractive might not necessarily be the most SEO friendly. So just keep that in mind. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the mobile first index, which just means all this means is that Google is going towards sites that have a mobile component that is more friendly. So basically, you'll be judged on how friendly your mobile component of your website is. Now, first, a little caveat is when I say mobile first and I say how well your site is sort of catering to the mobile folks, I do not mean a separate mobile website. No mobile.yourdomain. I'm talking about a responsive design. In fact, that's actually step one, is your site must be responsive. In fact, I would go as far as to say is it should not be a different site, should not be a subdomain. And the reason is, if you remember way back when we talked about domains and the best thing to do on SEO and all this stuff, and we talked about URL structure. Now, that's the domain. So for anybody that's like, oh, no, my head's hurting. He's talking nerdy again. No. What I'm talking about is that, like, you know, www.forwardmarketing.com. Now, see, my address is actually forwardmarketing.com. In fact, my address is https://forwardmarketing.com, right? Now, Google sees HTTP, HTTPS, www, and no nothing there, no www, as separate different addresses. So what you can imagine is that basically Google sees it as a separate phone number for the same address. And that's why when you switch from HTTP to HTTPS, your rankings kind of go away for a little bit and they come back. Usually they come back stronger because Google prefers the security protocol. So, well, all this to say is that you don't want a mobile site first. You want a responsive site, all right? So you don't want to create a separate domain that's m.domain.com because basically you're creating a separate phone number for the same address, right? So and we covered that. What is responsive? Well, anybody that's ever visited a website and they know that it looks different on their phone than it does when they're there, they've probably seen it. Basically, the menu gets hided by this little, what they call a hamburger menu, which is those three lines. And, that's a completely different experience on your phone than it is on there. But it's pretty close. It kind of mirrors each other. I've seen some sites that really do this really well. I've seen some sites that don't do it well. But it doesn't really matter. The content needs to shift just a tad for it to be called responsive. And it's pretty easy to do, actually. You can actually code into the design that when a screen size is a certain size, that certain elements change. That's basically all it is. Now, lucky for you, you don't need to know the code to put in there that says, oh, you know, if screen size this, then do that, it's actually much, much simpler than that even. What you need to look at is just, if you're using WordPress, a theme. Now, if you're on Wix or any of the other big websites, this is already done for you. You can sleep, rest, better. You don't have to worry about it. Shopify, all that's already done for you. Just look for the words responsive in their theme packages and you know you're good to go. When it comes to WordPress, you just want to make sure that the theme that you're getting is responsive and you're good to go there. So if that was the only tip, we would be done. But that's not the only tip and it's not the only thing that you need to be worried about when it comes to this mobile first index is simply being responsive. The second thing you need to think about is speed. Speed is the most important thing. In fact, if you're not responsive, this is still something that you can work on. If you say, I don't care if no mobile people ever visit my website. Well, that's fine. You still need to worry about speed because Google cares more about speed than pretty much anything else when it comes to this stuff. It doesn't mean that if you have the fastest site and the crappiest content that Google is going to rank you anywhere. That's not true. What is true is that all things being equal, a faster site will rank higher than a site that's not fast, okay? So, and that's really the way to look at SEO is that case. So, what are some tools that you can use to sort of check this? You can check Google Tools, and it'll actually tell you what's going on with your site. You can do it's a page speed test is the site. You can just type in Google page speed test into Google. It'll take you right there. You can test your site. You can test your pages. And it'll tell you the score it gives you. A lot of good information there, but one word of caution, these tests can definitely cause, I don't want to call it analysis paralysis, but it gives you a sense of stress and worry that you don't need. In a sense that basically the information gives you, it says, oh, this is really, really bad. It's not, it might not be that bad. And so you don't need to stress out about it. Fix what you can fix, take the information, improve your speed, but don't worry about trying to get an A or trying to get green dots or whatever. The other one we use is called GT Metrics. So if you just type into Google, type in GT Metrics, you'll see what I'm talking about. There's another one called Pingdom. There's a few different web speed tests out there. And basically what you're going to find is really what we're going to talk about in another step here. And basically in the next step. But basically what's happening is Google is on their mobile first index. What they're doing is they're sort of trying to create an environment on their from their crawler. So the Google bot is just crawling pages and it's like, oh, look, some new pages, I'm crawling these. And what's happening is that it's trying to the mobile first index, it tries to create an environment as if it was a mobile phone. Now, it does a really, really awful job of this. If you've ever seen it, it's like, oh, wow, this is nothing like what I expected. But basically, it's saying, I only have a 3G connection. Can I still view the page? So that's why speed is so important. And that's why it's important in the mobile first index. It's because Google's looking at it, trying to look at it as if it's sort of mirroring a bad connection. Can your page still load the information that it is. And that's actually one of the next steps. Step five, we'll get into that in a second. But it's actually what that AMP means. That's what AMP is all about. So there's some things that you can do before we move on. There's some tools. If you're using WordPress, again, if speed is an issue, unfortunately, if you're on a Wix or a Webflow, I'm trying to think of other ones, Squarespace, those kind of things, you're kind of out of luck. You're going to have to do some manual image optimization. You're going to have to do some manual things on your own. But if you're on WordPress, the things that speed things up are like minifying the files, minifying. So just so you know what this means, so you can sound really, really smart, is that when something is minified and optimized, it means
take the spaces out.
I know, and it's mind-blowing, but the reality of it is, in order to minify these files, they basically take all the useless spaces out of them, cram it all together, make it really, really hard to read, but it does make the file size slightly smaller. Now, if you do this with enough files, you create a speed on the site. You create some, basically enough of a margin of an increase in the overall site. The same thing goes for images. So if you have a WordPress site, WP basically auto-optimize is one of my favorite ones. You also need I would suggest getting a CDN. And if you just go on and speed, like Jetpack is one that's got some speed things on it, auto-optimize. Actually, we have a link, I think, on our website, and I'll put a list of these or a link to the website where it talks about some speed optimizers on the website. We'll go over all the plugins there. So I won't bore you with all the plugins, but auto-optimize is one. I also recommend getting a CDN, which is a Cloudflare. This will help you speed up your site, as well as give you some security protocols, as we discussed last episode. And then you need some sort of image optimizer, whether it's ShortPixel or one of the other ones. There's been tests on them. Some of them are better at PNG files. Some of them are better at JPEG. Some of them are better at GIFs. But it doesn't really matter. They all help in some form or fashion. So just go look at those. And again, like I said, I'll put this on the website, fordmarketing.com/podcast. Just look for the episode and you see in the show notes in there. So you've got these plugins, you're getting faster speed, you're going to the responsive. What do you need to do next? Well, you need to reduce your bounce rates. So once you've got the page fast, once you've gotten responsive, you're going to need to reduce your bounce rates. Now, bounce rate is basically, it's not what the kids say today. I'm done with this place. I'm going to bounce. But actually, what's funny is that life imitates the internet. In this case, Google interprets a bounce when someone goes to your website. Basically, they don't like the content. They leave very quickly, or they engage with the content for a few seconds, and then they leave. That's called a bounce, meaning useless traffic. They've gone to your site and they've gone back to Google instead of staying at your site. And so that's a bounce. And that's what you want to avoid, is bounce rates. So in addition to all those metrics I mentioned in a previous episode, where I said you need to look at users or sessions and all that stuff, what you also need to look at is your bounce rate. And if you can decrease your bounce rate, you should actually be able to increase your rankings overall. I mean, that's basically what Google has said, is the more engaging your content is, the higher you'll rank, and it just makes sense. So what can you do to decrease this? You need to have better content. You need to have, you need to sort of have a place where they can read and examine the content. So what's going to keep someone on the page longer? So for instance, on our page, we put the podcast at the top. This really, really, really hurts my iTunes ranking, because you can go to my website and listen to the podcast and never subscribe on iTunes. And iTunes is actually the fundamental way to grow my subscriber list. In fact, that's pretty much every metric that's used for me to monetize this podcast. As you notice, there's no ads on this podcast. For me to monetize this podcast, I would need to have an ad. In order to have an ad that actually pays me anything, I need to have a large subscriber list. Well, the best way to do that is through iTunes, and that's the statistics that all get pulled. Unfortunately, if you listen to my podcast via the plugin that's on the site, then, or the embed that I've put on there, then it only counts on Libsyn, which might work, but it's so scattered it makes it really hard to convince an advertiser to advertise on the podcast. So all that being said, is I hope that you realize that the value that I put into this is for you, the listener, and I've sort of foregone something that should be useful to me, which is put the podcast at the bottom where you have to scroll down to see it, to engage with it. I put it at the top. And one of the things that's helped me is that's decreased my bounce rate because you're hitting the button, you're listening to the podcast while you're reading the show notes. It's keeping you longer here than if you just scan the page, realize you didn't need it, and go move on. So there's something about having that video or that podcast at the top that I think is helping my bounce rate. All that to say, you should be paying attention to the bounce rate. You can see your bounce rate easily by looking at your Google Analytics. I'm assuming that 99% of you that have sites have Google Analytics on it. You can see your bounce rate. It's just something to track. It's not, again, it's not something for you to lose sleep over, but all these things add up. So you need to be responsive. You need to be fast. One of the biggest, before we go, I don't want to go back over speed again, but one of the biggest areas of success is going to be minimizing those image files. I can't stress that enough. So definitely do that. So reduce bounce rate. Now, the next thing is think mobile first. So think about your mobile users first. If you can do this at all, I know some of you are using template websites and you just got what you got. There's not a whole lot of thought process behind it. But think about how someone might consume the content on a phone versus on a desktop. It might change the way that you structure your images. It might change. So for instance, the classic WordPress blog always has an image aligned to the left with padding. This is so funny. I'm using my hands to describe this and you guys can't see it. But this is how passionate I guess I get about some of this stuff, is that basically there's words that are wrapped around this padding. All right. So that looks really elegant on a desktop. If that's all that was done, it does not look very good on a phone. So what does phones do? Well, phones will clear the space so that the image is there and then it's text and then it's image and text, but there's no wrapping, text wrapping, which is like the old school word that we used to use for like the Word documents. When you put an image there and you wanted the text to go around it, you'd have a text wrap. So that's basically one of the things, like that's a great example of thinking mobile first. Other things that you could do is kind of like we talked about, which was hiding the content. And this, in this case, if you've got a great template, a website theme, particularly on WordPress, if you have one that has a feature that is able to display like almost a completely different design for a mobile user, you know, again, what we talked about before was, you know, if their screen size is below a certain amount, it's going to display something different, then that's when you would use these content hiders. Is that you could create two versions of the content that basically says, you know, if the size of the screen is this, use the accordion. If not, do not use the accordion. And that would be the way to do that. But just really, it's the intentionality. Like, it's kind of a theme in our podcast, is this intentionality. Intentionality is behind making sure that you know, people on a phone can view your content and sort of digest it, if you will. All right, so number five is going AMP, getting AMPed. All right, so AMP is not really that exciting. In fact, it is the most boring sites I've ever seen are AMP sites. AMP is basically, imagine if I showed you a website that had no tags, nothing on it, no code, but it was just on Notepad. Oh, I know. You're like, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see a website that was completely designed in a Google Doc or WordPress or Word site. But that's what AMP is basically all the text, none of the fluff or none of the filler, completely boring experience. But here's why Google likes it. It is lightning fast. And if you, let's say you needed something, whether it was the latest tip on a video game from Reddit or directions or a recipe on how to cook something, and you just wanted it and you were Googling it on your phone and you had it in one hand and something was cooking in the background and you're like, I need it now, AMP would be the way that you'd want to receive it, because it's just information. I mean, that's the whole reason why a lot of times people copy and paste and drop and stuff into Evernote or programs like that, because we just need the information. We don't really need all the images and the things that make it look pretty. And that is what AMP is. There's a great plugin for, and I'll put it on the show notes, that you can do, put on WordPress, that'll give you an AMP version. And then you just have to spend the time to sort of say, okay, what stays and what goes on this AMP site. And again, with all of these things, all things being equal, the one that's fastest, the one that's more mobile ready is going to win, right? So when all else fails, examine the competition, and you don't, it's basically, here's the thing. Everything I've said about speed, when I talked about the GDPR last week, whenever I talk about SEO, the important thing to know is, what is your overall strategy? What are your target markets? And what is the competition doing? Because ultimately, you don't have to be the best. You just have to be better than the rest. Another way of saying it is that in SEO in particular, you don't have to be faster than the bear. Right? The bear's chasing you. He's going to eat you. You don't have to be faster than the bear. That's a myth. You do not have to be faster than the bear. You have to be faster than the other guy who's also being chased by the bear, right? Because ultimately, if you're not, if you're the slowest, you'll be eaten by the bear and you won't show up on the Google results. So that's the whole point of going over this. This is why this is valuable to you. If you are a plumber in your state, let's say you're a plumber in your city and you want people to find you, you need to know about local SEO, but you also need a website that's going to do this if you want to rank for anything other than plumber in city, right? So as a reminder, one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is, particularly with small businesses, is that local SEO component, is not making sure that there's there are citations and their business is registered on Google. Because this mobile first index, one of the things it did is it pushed all of the Google results up to the top, all the Google map results, all of that stuff top to the top for queries for businesses. And so it's going to make sure that you said that is a component of mobile first. Another component of mobile first that might not seem like the best segue in the world, but is the how to sort of maximize your campaigns on Instagram. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is Instagram is a mobile app. And that may be like the worst segue you've ever heard, but it's the best I've got, because finally I've got to get back to talking about marketing. And one of the areas I've not talked a lot about on this podcast is social media. And so next week, I have a great episode lined up for you as you hear me turn the pages to the notes to talk about basically the do's and don'ts. I've got 13 do's and don'ts of Instagram marketing to help you grow grow your audience on Instagram. Instagram is a huge place to go get business, but if you don't use it the right way, it can be a big waste of time. Instagram isn't just about taking pictures of your food, taking pictures of your butt, taking pictures of your boobs. It's not just about that. It's about there are people on there that are browsing that stuff all the time, and your business should be there, especially if you have a business that connects with consumers. And so if you sell any products at all, you should be sure to tune in next week as we cover the 13 do's and don'ts of Instagram. Instagram marketing. If you like this podcast at all, as always, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. You would be one of my favorite people if you would write a review on iTunes and you would be a subscriber on iTunes. You would even be like my most favorite person if you shared this podcast with other people and helped me grow the listenership. I would love to do this full time just for you. So as always, if there's anything that you have that you would like to know, please email me at Joshua at FordMarketing.com. I would love to hear your show requests, your show critiques, and if you think I should interview someone or anything like that, a book that you'd like me to cover, may even do one of those episodes. Been reading a lot lately and would love to share those with you. But thanks so much for listening today, and I'll catch you next week with some great Instagram.